So this morning, we want to acknowledge Pastor Denny and Penny from St. John's. Can we bless them this morning? Glad you guys are here. I know you like being, thanks. Pastor Jeff's going to share this morning. Tonight, we got service 6 o'clock. Come join us. We are on this grand adventure. Last Monday night, we had our Catalyst meeting. We had probably about 50 people there. We're just going this next step, next steps. It's interesting to note, dear ones, that what we are attempting to do is not something that we have seen before, but it's something that we really feel God is there and leading us to. And thank you for going on the adventure with us. This is not a business deal. This is not, well, let's just get two churches and make one bigger church. It's not about that. It's about gifting, operating so that we can impact our valley and beyond. That every one of us have a call and a purpose to change our valley. And then also the Church of Jesus Christ will be blessed through that. So thanks for going on the journey with us. And so ushers come. We're going to be praying for Pastor Richard Pettyjohn, Tammany View Baptist Church. We pray for a church every Sunday. Pastor Jeff and I and three other core pastors, we led ministers weekend, Friday night, Saturday, and it was really, really cool to see pastors praying for each other, pastors loving on each other. Dear ones, God is doing something in our valley. I'm telling you, it's wonderful what he's doing, and we're going to be a part of it. So we'll pray for them. Pray for our missionaries, Dan and Danita Taylor, the three daughters, Anna, Abigail, and Gabriella. I think we have pictures of them. And then on Sunday, February 10th, we're doing a Valentine's Day potluck, but it's going to be different. It's not for just women who are married. The men of our churches want to bless the women of our churches. So we're going to, So you don't have to be married. You can be single or you can be, it doesn't matter, married. We just want to bless you and honor you. And instead of like a husband's blessing, it's the Heavenly Father's blessing that he really loves you. And after service, it's a potluck. Sign-ups in the back. We already got some people signing up. Donations, guys, we'll be bringing food, donating stuff, and thank you. And then last, the donation summaries. Thank you for giving in 2018. Thank you for your faithfulness. And so for tax purposes in the foyer, there's your giving documents in the back. So, hey, man, someone just say, yeah. It's a good day. Jesus loves us. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Well, come on, let's pray right now. Let's do it right now. Let's go after it. Father, in Jesus' name, you're the God of breakthrough. Your name is Perez, the God of breakthrough. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, yeah, we say yes. We don't even care. We know what it looks like. We don't care. We know it's good because everything that you do is good. So, Father, teach us to pray. That's what Pastor Jeff and I, we've been talking about and we're going after, Lord. It's through prayer. And the less the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. So God, you're doing something that is brand new. You're doing something, God, in your church that, Lord, you said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Lord, in Jesus' name, it's not what we see, it's what you say. And Lord, this valley doesn't need another church. It needs a people who are alive in you. So, Lord, breathe new life into us. Breathe new life, God. Father, awaken your bride to be the expression of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray and we agree right now for that to happen. And, Lord, we bless and we honor what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Also, one more thing. And if you haven't heard, I think we announced it last week, but River City and New Bridges Church, they are coming together as well. So we have been in journey with Pastor Kevin and Brad Bramlett. Pastor Brad, we've been on journey with Pastor Jeff and I for a couple years, and we've been praying with them about this. And so they announced it, I think, last Sunday. And so something's happening, gang, and it's going to look different than ours. It looks different because there's different tones, textures, and ways in which God does something. So we're just celebrating and praying for what God is doing in them, but what he's doing in us, but it's coming together. The body of Christ, I believe, is finally answering Jesus' prayer. Let them be one as we are one. I think we're finally answering a prayer of Jesus. And I have never seen this happen before where churches are coming together and say, let's do life together. Why not? And cross denominational lines, cross, let's just be the body of Christ. So pray for River City, pray for New Bridges, pray for wisdom, pray for their people, pray for their leadership. But this is fun. It's going to get gooder. Yeah. I'm a wordsmith. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord, giving is always associated with love. It's always love does something. Love gives something. It gives our time. It gives our attention. It gives our presence. It gives our gifts. And Lord, I pray that if there's any kind of a poverty mentality that I can't afford it, I can't, Lord, instead, we would just be overwhelmed by love. And that love, Lord, when we love, it's just so easy to give. So, Lord, we give today our tithes and offerings. And Lord, as we give, bless Pastor Richard Pettijohn and his congregation. Father, bless them abundantly. Father, let them find a great expression of the kingdom in our valley and beyond. And Father, we pray for Dan and Danita Taylor. God, give them great grace as they minister overseas to people who need to know the reality of Jesus. Father, cover them with your love. Bless them abundantly. And Lord, today, God, we welcome our, open our hearts to see you do great things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, family, for giving. And as you give, welcome Pastor Jeff as he comes to share this morning.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Darren, if those pictures. So what do you think happens when 23 pastors get together? We pray and fast for 24 hours, right? No, not this weekend. My wife, she's not able to be with us this morning. She actually was really struggling not to be here because she loves it when we get together, and she loves to hear me preach. We have three foster kids along with our three teenage kids, and we were gone all day Friday and all day Saturday. And so we woke up this morning and they needed connection time. And so, we just bless them right now. But we had fun. And part of what God is doing is showing us that there is a joy in Him. There's a joy in Him, and it causes the weight of burdens to come off. Look at Captain America there and the beauty queen. Come on, these are your pastors. And we just had a great time. Obviously, you know these guys. This is our core team. Brett and Susie Stedman up there in the top corner, and then Mark and Jane Brewster there in the bottom. And then Brad and Sue Bramlett and Kevin and Shelley just goofing it up. All the pastors, you know, Danny and Penny got involved and took time to just have some fun and just be refreshed. We charge $100 for pastor couples, and Quality Inn gives us a great rate, but we give over $100 in donations to each couple. And again, so the registration fee basically covers, you know, just the cost of the hotel, but we have donors and businessmen and women and people in our region that believe in the value of refreshing pastors in unity, and they sow into it. And as Pastor Mike mentioned, these two right here, we prayed for them. I just want to encourage you to continue to pray for them. They made a declaration last Sunday before their churches. They declared that they're merging. They're coming together. They will remain River City, but they're going to take in New Bridges and transition to that building. And so we just want to be in prayer for them and lifting them up and honoring them because we see, as Pastor Mike mentioned, we're seeing something, and it's so beautiful. The other thing you can be praying for is we as a core team have been meeting. We met last month and did a strategic planning meeting. We have another one coming up in February where we're really looking at, Lord, how do we expand? What is it that you're doing that we need to be partnering with? What do we need to let go of in order to be more focused on and attentive to what you're doing? And We had a beautiful time a couple weeks ago, and we have another time set here in a couple weeks in February for this team to get together and just really sit before the Lord and hear what he's doing. Because there's a yes and amen that God is looking to us to activate our faith, looking to us to understand where he's set us, the course that's before us, and getting over the fear. Getting over the familiarity, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning, about how familiarity actually becomes a hindrance to growth and change and transformation because of this discomfort that comes when we have to break out of familiarity. And so I just wanted to share that with you and pray for them, and we've prayed for them, and bring your attention to what God is doing in that arena. This morning, I want to give you a roadmap for where we're going this year. And some of the things that we're going to talk on later on the year. And my hope in this is that you would be at peace. We had a great meeting Monday night. They're the third Mondays of every month. We'll continue to announce that. We're calling them catalyst meetings because the nature of a catalyst is to create acceleration. It's a person, it's an event, it's a chemical reaction, it's a substance that creates acceleration. And it's not that we want to accelerate and neglect important priorities and responsibilities, but we want to accelerate in such a way that, Lord, we hit the mark, that we get to where you've asked us to be when we need to be there. One of the things that I'm carrying is just, I've heard from others and people that are you know, in tune with the Spirit, it's you can't wait to get to 2020 to then get 2020 vision. You can't wait to 2019, January 1st, to have vision for 2019. We've been in this journey for the last few years. You know, we've been trying to figure out, Lord, what does this look like? What are we doing? What are you trying to figure out? And on-site insight is awesome. But what happens with on-site insight, meaning like right in this moment, I'm getting a download, I'm getting insight, is that people get left out. Because if they're not on-site getting the insight, then they have no sight. And then the challenge of trying to bring them on board and get them connected just becomes a lot of work that we're willing to do and need to be willing to do. Because we're going to share things this morning. We're going to share things next Sunday. Things were shared last week that if you're not here, you're not hearing. And so as we say, let's go, what I'm hoping this morning is that you'll see a roadmap that we really are following the Spirit. And he has given us a few markers, though we don't understand exactly, you know, each and every step to get to that marker, we do see them lining up. So when I was a little kid, I grew up in California. I grew up on the outskirts of Anaheim, California, and we lived up in the foothills. And my parents would take us out on our deck, and we would look out in the distance about 25 miles away and watch the little fireworks. And it was from Disneyland. And we would sit there, and my parents would go, "That's Disneyland." "Great. What's Disneyland?" And I'd watch my mom just be enamored by, you know, the little flashes of light. You couldn't hear the booms. You couldn't feel the vibrations. And the six kids, you know, my three brothers and two sisters, we'd stand there on the deck, and it's like, big deal. Little flashes of light in the night, last 15 minutes. And my parents would sit there, and I can look back thinking, this is the biggest waste of time. And we would do it almost every night. And it would be years later, I'd be about 10 o'clock or 10 years old, that my parents finally took me to Disneyland. Because before that, that was Disneyland. That little flash of light in the distance, that was Disneyland. I didn't realize there were rides. There was a Magical Kingdom. There was a Fantasyland. There was Adventureland. There was you know, the treehouse. There was all these things to Disneyland. All I knew was a boring night watching these little puffs of light just flash. But I can remember looking at my parents, and especially my mom, and just wondering, why on earth are you so attentive and have dragged us out here and want us to watch this? It's because she'd been there. She had been there. She was there in her heart. She was there in an experience. Us little kids, we were like, it's a waste of time. I want cartoons, you know, or dessert or something else. And until we were there, until we stayed and the fireworks were bursting over our, and the fireworks were the climax to the day. I mean, we stepped foot on the property, and, you know, I don't know how you feel about Disneyland, but I went, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is truly a magical kingdom. Yeah. Like, this is a kid's you know, now granted, you know, I've taken my kids and now it's like, well, the cost, the crowds, the lines, you know, all of that comes into account. But, you know, the wonder captures your attention. And all of a sudden now the knights on the deck afterwards were like, oh, that's Disneyland. When are we going back there? You know, when can we get back there? Because that represents something. And from that day on, like all of us, all my siblings, I mean, we gazed upon it with the same fashion that my mom and dad did. And there's something true about that in the kingdom of God. See, some of us, we're looking at grace. We're looking at healing. We're looking at deliverance. We're looking at love. And we just see it like a little firework pop in the night sky, a flash of light. And we're watching others go, what is the big deal? What? Why are you so enamored by that? Why? Let's do something else. Why are we out here on the deck watching these little lights flash in the night? But until you get to that point, until you experience so then we moved here to Lewiston, Idaho, and then we go over to Adams Field. I mean, I thought the fireworks at Disneyland were awesome, but they keep you still far away. They fall on you at Adams Field. Like, it is awesome, you know. So we watch them from you know, actually, we've been up here by the Elks. You can watch them from the Elks, and, you know, it's awesome. But then we took our kids one year down there, and they were like, why on earth are we not here every single year? You know, because now it's like it's raining fireworks down on you, and it's awesome. But it changes your perspective when you have an experience. And the thing is that some of us have settled for, you know what, I was there and it was awesome, but the effort to get there is more than I have to give right now. And I just feel like the Spirit is stirring us up in two fashions. One, for those of us that have been in the presence of those fireworks, healing, deliverance, love, transformation, the Lord is saying, don't ever leave this place. Don't ever settle. But for others of us that all we know is that those are just lights flashing in the light and I'm sitting on my deck and I don't know why it's a big deal. The Holy Spirit's inviting you to come and enter the kingdom of God. Enter the kingdom. Sit and capture the wonder, the noise, the boom, the bright flashing lights of his goodness and his glory. And so in that picture, there's a roadmap. There's a roadmap that the Father has given us to go from where we're at to where he wants us to encounter and experience his presence in that place. Does that mean he's not with us now? Absolutely not. He's with us. His presence is here. His presence is in you. But there are places and journeys that he set before us that says, come and experience healing. Come and experience deliverance. Come and experience freedom. And that transition from where you are to where that moment in time happens and that experience happens involves change. And change is not an easy thing. And so our main text this morning is going to be in Luke, but I want to share a story out of Matthew this morning. And it's found in Matthew 14. And you can go and read it this week. And I'm just going to briefly walk you through it. But in Matthew 14, what we find is that the miracle of multiplication had just finished. And many of you will be familiar with this story. And it's where Jesus feeds the 5,000 out of a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And he raises it up, blesses it, hands it to his disciples, and his disciples send it, you know, out. And 5,000 are fed. 5,000 men are fed. So we know it's many more than that. And then immediately after that, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and cross the lake there. But he didn't get in the boat with them. He went up onto the mountaintop and he began to pray and intercede. And it's an amazing story. And what I want to draw from this is that as the disciples are out on a lake, an unusual storm arises. Is the way the word, when you look at the word actually is a contrary storm. The nature of contrary is it is unfamiliar. So these fishermen who are very familiar with this region, who are very familiar with the lake, who are very familiar with the terrain, all of a sudden are encountering something unfamiliar in the way the storm is raging. And there's fear that is settling in. And all of a sudden, there's this ghost-like figure walking out on the water. Man, the movie screen in heaven when we get to watch this is gonna be worth it all. But Jesus is walking out on water, And Peter calls out, again, just recall the story. Peter calls out and, you know, and says, you know, Lord, if that's you, call me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Well, Peter gets out of the boat and he starts to walk towards Jesus. But then he puts his mind back on the unfamiliarity of the storm. That which he was familiar with, Jesus, all of a sudden got distracted by that which was unfamiliar. Listen, in times of change and transition, we need to keep our eyes on the only familiar thing, and that is Jesus. But even in Jesus, there will be a nature of unfamiliarity, and we'll address that. But hear my heart. It's two sides of the same coin. Jesus has to be so familiar. We have to be so familiar with who he is that when things in transition become unfamiliar, we don't get distracted by them. And the flip side of that is Jesus, who we're very familiar with, is also changing. In that he never changes, but yet he's leading us to know him more and more. And because of that unfamiliar storm in nature and Jesus not being, the focus of Peter's eyes, he begins to sink. And Jesus picks him up, puts him back in his boat and says, you know, oh, you of little faith. And it wasn't a put down. What Jesus was addressing and what I want to just transition back into Luke with is this thought. You just saw 5,000 men get fed from a small offering of a few loaves and fish. There were baskets, 12 baskets of food left over. You just encountered a supernatural miracle that all of a sudden, when another supernatural miracle is taking place, like Jesus walking on water, you don't have the faith. You're not connecting that we go from glory to glory, faith to faith, that you let something distract you from the process of change and transformation. Just because I did a miracle in the form of feeding 5,000 men by multiplying some bread and fish, don't box me in because I can also walk on water. Don't box me in because I can also come out of the grave. Don't box me in because I can also descend from the heavens and ascend from the heavens. Don't box me in because I can take a lame, crippled man who sits at a gate and heal him with your shadow. Get him to get up because you command him to get up. Don't box me in. Just because you're familiar with one expression of how I miraculously manifest, don't lose sight that I'm still miraculous. And that's what he's challenging. Don't lose faith. And my hope is that as I lay out this roadmap very quickly to you, and as we get into sermon series and messages this year, is that you don't lose faith. That you don't look and go, I'm losing my church. I'm losing my pastor. Oh, we're going to change our name. We may change our service times. We may look different. Different people may get on the stage to lead different. You know what? I don't want to be a part of that anymore. Please don't do that. If anything, stick around long enough to discover that we're actually better together. Amen. Stick around long enough to actually discover that when we allow the process of change and transformation to happen in us and around us, in the name of Jesus, it is good. It is really good. Do I have some uncertainty and fear? Yes, but it's not about Mike, Pastor Mike and Debbie. It's not about you. Sometimes it's about me and my abilities. But what I'm uncertain about is, Lord, I know what it looks like to see the miracle of multiplying fish and bread, multiplication. I don't know if I've ever seen you walk on water. You know, I've seen you heal the sick, but I haven't considered that there's other things, that uncertainty. So how do we navigate that? We're going to use Luke chapter 5. And I've got four simple points for you to consider. And I want to lay these out as a roadmap in such a manner that this year you would remember them in such a manner that, oh, this is the time. This is what we need to deal with. And the first one is simply this. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, it says this. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake, Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. See, the first challenge in any transition or change is the willingness to launch out. It's the willingness to go. It's the willingness to break free from what is norm or familiar. And there will be many of them in our life. There are many of them in our day, these moments of choosing to just launch out, to set out. See, when the word that I would attach to this point is expectation. All of us have an expectation. All of us think like, oh, this is what two churches looks like when they come together. Oh, this is what it's going to be like when we consider changing our name or growing up in our identity or the expectation of the men and women that you heard that went through Zealots. They came in with an expectation, and I'm sure if we sat down with all of them, they would all tell you there was an alteration to their expectation, that God did something that they didn't even expect. That Pastor Mike would tell you and the admin team for Zealots, they came in with an expectation. But because of their willingness to submit to the Spirit of God, there's the ability to make adjustments. But it began and became possible because there was this willingness to launch out. Now put yourself in the shoes of Peter and these other fishermen. You've fished all night. You've brought your boats in. You're washing your nets. Your day is done. You'd like to go home and sleep, see your family, get a good meal, clean up a little bit. And all of a sudden, this rabbi, this man who's got this incredible crowd, comes walking along and says, hey, can I get in your boat? And would you just push out a little bit into the shallows? I guess, why not? I'm just washing nets. Get in. Let's go sit. See, most of us look at Jesus from the shore as the crowd, when we're actually called to be the Peter looking through the eyes of Jesus and seeing the crowd. There's a perspective change. Peter all of a sudden had the perspective of this man sitting in the boat, teaching to the crowds, and he's looking at the response of the people. He's looking at how the crowds are attentive to him. He's probably even pondering, what on earth is this man saying? I have never heard truth like this. When we sit in the presence and the perspective of Jesus, guess what? We will hear truths we've never heard before. We will be able to see the responses of people that are questioning, going, who is this rabbi? Who is this man? Where is this truth coming? But then comes the second part, and it's the association of sitting with Jesus in the boat. Because now you also have all the crowds looking at Jesus, but also glancing at you once in a while, looking at your expression, looking at your response. And so as we transition, as we make changes, and please hear me, I'm not talking about just church, we're talking about life. Maybe it's time to retire. Maybe it's time to get a new job. Maybe it's time to buy your house or sell your house. Maybe it's time to reconcile with family members or neighbors. Maybe there's somebody that God has put on your heart, and now it's time to transition into actually engaging a relationship. Maybe there's a transition in your life where you have faithfully walked with somebody, shared the gospel, but the courage and the boldness to say, do you want to accept Jesus Christ is what is next in the journey. But the fear of being rejected, the fear of uncertainty, the fear of do I even believe what I've been preaching and want them to join it? Maybe that's the transition that God is putting his finger on and saying, would you just launch out? Because how many of you know that the fish that we're fishing for aren't found in the shallows, on shore? They're in deeper water. And so Jesus goes on to say, talk to them. And let me get to Simon Peter's response here. Because the next point is we have to learn to trust. And so in verse 5 it says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down your net. Listen. When Peter's sitting there, he's okay listening, but now he's been given a command to go do something that is not familiar with him, and if anything, it is contradictory. He is a professional fisherman. He knows that you do not fish in the day. You fish at night. He knows that he's been fishing all night, and they've caught nothing. And so he challenges them and says, Lord, we have actually fished all night. What you're asking me to do doesn't make any sense. So we come into this place of learning to trust the Lord and deal with two types of pressure. There's the internal pressure of, listen, I know how to do this because I've done it all my life. Peter's the fisherman. He's fished all night. He's fished all his life. He's grown up in a fishing community. He's got an entire shoreline of people watching him respond to Jesus, who's now asking him, hey, go out a little bit further and let down your nets. We're going to catch some fish. The internal pressure of going, what do all those people think of me? The internal pressure of going, I actually know how to do this, Jesus. You shouldn't be the one telling me to do this, carpenter. Go back to your wood. Go back to your shed and make your chair. This is my territory. This is my church. Don't tell me what to do. This is how you heal, because this is how I've been trained. This is how you lead somebody to the Lord, because this is how I was led to the Lord. Those familiar, very, very powerful, very real experiences need to be moldable and flexible. In the sense that when Jesus comes along and takes what we're familiar with and says, hey, listen, I want to do something unfamiliar to you, but it's still going to be supernatural. Then there's the external pressure that we all face. The external pressure of people commenting. Really, you're going to stay at that church? Really, you're going to meet in that building? You really believe in healing? How many people have you seen healed? You really believe that God can fix marriages or deal with crime and change a city? You really believe that? The external pressure, learning to bear that is part of the process and part of how God wants to work in our life. And we need to allow him. Because what we find is that all of a sudden, now this expectation and the process of learning to trust begins to create an alteration. If any of you have YouTube or access to the internet and want to go check this out, there's a comedian by the name of Michael Jr. And he's got a comedy act at the church that he goes to. It's Robert Morris's church called Gateway Church. And it's Thou Shalt Laugh. And he does this little comedy sketch about the nature of expectation, alteration, revelation, and transformation. And I'm simply just taking his words and just saying, when we choose to launch out, we have expectations. When we begin to learn to trust the Lord, he's going to make alterations to those expectations. Which brings us to the third point, is that all of a sudden we're going to get revelation, which means we need help. Because in the midst of any revelation, what we have to understand at the core of Jesus Christ is oneness. Doing it together. In it together was our pastor's theme. Better together is the phrase that, you know, we use around here. Let's go together. Let's figure this out together. Let's activate gift mixes and see the body of Christ come alive, not because everybody's in the same rut or the same expression, but the beauty of diversity is abounding in such a way that all of a sudden we recognize that I actually can't do what God's called me to do unless I'm in relationship with others who are gifted to do it with me. And so in verse 6 and 7, we see that all of a sudden, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their nets were breaking so that they signaled to their partners to get in other boats and to come help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. All of a sudden, Peter has a revelation. We just caught fish when you don't catch fish. But if we go back and we recognize that in verse 5, he says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down your net. That's got to be our posture. Lord, I don't think you're doing right. I don't think what you're asking is right. But at your word, I will do it. There's that obedience. And just for a moment, the process in that moment, it involves the counsel of wise men and women. It involves scripture so that we're not contradictory to the word of God. It involves patience. Yes, there's an immediate response here, but most often things that God is asking us to do are to flow out of peace and patience. And just cultivating that and going after that is part of this process of how do you navigate change? How do you navigate transitions? How do you navigate movement? You choose to launch out and say, let's go with all your expectations, but flexible and moldable enough to say that all of a sudden, Lord, I'm learning something new. You are making alterations to what I thought I knew this would look like. So that then I can come into revelation and realize that we're in this together, that there are others that have actually gone before us. There is nothing new under the sun. And yet at the same time, I don't want to just cookie cutter what has already been done, not because it's bad or prideful. It's just, Lord, there's a unique mix here that might not be the same there. And being careful of that comparison. Or when we planted our church 13 years ago, we came out of a church planting church. We were church number 62 out of that staff table, and church number 700, and I don't even remember, I think it was 740 out of the churches that he had planted. And I had sat in many meetings watching other churches get planted, other men and women and couples get sent out. Jacqueline and I joined a few others just to help them get started and then return to what we call the parenting church, the mother church. And I remember hearing the same phrase over and over, but the day that I heard it spoken to me, it meant something totally different. And what Pastor Ralph would always say in the last kind of interview before the big launch and send you out and then the discipleship that followed afterwards is this: you don't get my shoes. You need to walk in your own. And I remember the first time I heard that thinking, like, what on earth does that mean? And later on I realized, oh, the tendency to feel like, man, I got some big shoes to fill coming out of Ralph Moore's church. I got some big shoes to fill coming out of Pastor Mike and Deb's church. I got some big shoes to fill coming out of Bethel training and stuff. The truth is, you don't get their shoes. You have your own shoes that God's called you to walk in. And I love that, and I value that, and I preach that today because I've watched others get hurt because they were told, listen, these are the shoes I've walked in. You've got some big shoes to fill. And the pressure to all of a sudden perform at that level. Listen, I'm not asking my infant, you know, 5-year-old foster kid to do what my 18-year-old is doing. And the Lord's not asking me or any of you to do what others in maturity have grown up to do. He may get us there and want us to be there, but he also might want to grow us up and have us look a little different. And being at peace with that is important in the journey. And so the last point here is found in the last few verses in this section. And it starts in verse 8. It says, when Peter saw it, he got a revelation. He understood. He all of a sudden realized the truth that was being preached and the encounter we just had, they're incredible. But this is what happens oftentimes in the journey, is that we hear the truth, but we never see it manifest. Or we went and saw it, but we never sought out to know it as the word of truth. See, in this moment, what this shows us is that Peter sitting, listening to Jesus preach truth, power, wonder, awe, miracles. And what Jesus does time and time again is he links the miracle with the word. He links the encounter with the word. He links the truth of experiencing a greater joy, a greater eternity, a greater reality with the living word, because they are inseparable. And yet, Lord, forgive me, because I have settled at times in my life just going, this is a really good word. I'm okay with that. But what you're asking me to do, to see the word performed, what you're wanting me to sacrifice, what I need to give up, what I need to let go of, I'm not ready yet. And there's grace, praise God. But I don't want to remain on my deck looking at little fireworks in the distance. And I don't want to remain on the deck knowing, man, that's an awesome place. I sure liked going there one time. I want to go back. And I want to go beyond. Because off in the other distance is Universal Studios doing the exact same thing. It's like, well, now, Dad, what is that over there? Well, that's Universal Studios. We've never been there. Why not? Like, they got fireworks too. I want to go there. So years later, we went to Universal Studios. It's like, oh, from our incredible view, there's wonder out there. So when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken in. And so also were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. I think we heard that this morning, huh? Do not be afraid. Stand in love. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men, or become fishers of men, or fish for men, depending on your translation. Jesus is giving them a new call. He's taking the expectations. He's creating alterations. He's giving them revelation. And he's showing them transformation. And it's in that place of transformation that we find the greatest challenge, where fear and familiarity will be shackles around our feet unless we learn how to break free from them. And the things that we're going to address this year to break free are things like pain, dealing with worry and anxiety, growing up, getting discipled to have new encounters, new experiences, new knowledge, addressing places where we've struggled to have alterations in our soul, alterations in our understanding of the word, places where one person's revelation doesn't make sense to us, and we've dismissed it when God said, it doesn't need to make sense to you, it was for them. But we learn to honor it, and we learn to understand that, Lord, if you do it in them, you can do it in me. See, the roadmap before us simply involves choosing to say, Lord, we're going to launch out. We're going to follow you. And as we follow you, we're willing to learn. Come on, we're going on a great adventure. We're shifting the culture of the church from being, hey, come here and help us, to let's go, how can we help you? Because there's a hurting world out there. And they have an expectation of the church. They have an expectation of who Jesus is. And what they need is they need an encounter with the Spirit of God to create an alteration, which leads to a new revelation, which all of a sudden invites them into transformation. And Jesus used the perfect illustration here. Hey, you guys are super familiar with fishing for fish, but now I'm going to teach you how to fish for men. It's going to require some new equipping, new retooling, repurposing. But man, the reward is going to be eternal. That reward of going, oh Lord, falling on our knees, recognizing, I didn't know. But now that I know, I'm going to go. So back to our story in Matthew. Peter was willing to get out of the boat and attempt by simply asking for the invitation, call me out to you, Lord. And here's the thing I've been praying for each and every one of us. If you're not willing to get out of the boat, that's fine. But don't stop others from getting out of the boat. If you've been trying to get out of the boat, forgive those that have tried stopping you and get out of the boat. If you've been one to stop others from getting out of the boat, don't go there. Don't go to that church. Don't sit under that pastor's teaching. Don't listen to that music. Don't believe in that form of healing. Don't expect anything different when you go there. We all do it. We've all done it. No condemnation, no shame. I'm just asking you, don't do it anymore. Be wise, guard, protect, but love, encourage. Let's go launch out. Let's go a little deeper. Hey, let's try laying our nets down. I feel like the Lord says, let down our nets right now. Really? Right here? Yeah, let's let them down. See what happens. Not realize some of that, that's also personality. I get that. I'm very familiar with that because that's not my wife's personality. But I also know the value of when those personalities work with the other personalities that are just as valuable to the Lord in the sense of well, let's think this through. Let's be wise about this. What's the point of letting down a net that has holes in it? I don't know. Just let it down. You know, well, let's fix it first. All right, fix it. Fix it. You know? Because there's gift mixes. And if we choose to work together, we're going to see a catch like we've never seen. And that's what I'm contending for. So I'm going to release you and send you out this morning. But some of you, you may need just some time in prayer. And so I've asked a few people to come forward to be available at the front of the altar here to pray for you, to join with you in such a manner if you're hesitant to launch out in something God's called you to do, confess it. If you're discovering that learning something new is not as easy as it used to be or you know, you're finding roadblocks, ask them to pray for you. If you're in a place of you've got incredible revelation and you just don't know what to do with it, let them partner with you. If you're in the process of transformation, realizing, you know, I mean, if anything, ask some of these people that just went through Zealots. They're activated with an insight and understanding of man, when the Lord gives you a vision and a picture of your life, purpose rises up. There's something about now, I want to see everybody have purpose and value. Let them pray for you. You might have to seek them out because they might not be up here. But don't leave here if you know there's this place where you want to connect with God. Because what's familiar is we get up and we go. And maybe what the Lord would ask you to do is something unfamiliar. Why don't you get up, get prayed for, encouraged, blessed, and then go. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I thank you that we are men and women, sons and daughters, who've been called to go, who've been invited to join with you and launch out, to set out on a course. And Lord, I thank you that even the grace to do that is sufficient. The grace and the love that you have for us to get us to join you will never wane. It will never leave us or forsake us. You've made yourself one with us and we are one with you. And so, Lord, I thank you that if today is a struggle, that, Lord, tomorrow would be easier. But, Lord, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, Lord, I could look back and go, wow. Launching out, Lord, taking all my expectations, good, bad, uncertain, but the expectations and trusting you was worth it. It was worth it, Lord. And I don't know all of you in the room this morning, but I want to pray, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you've never stepped out and said, Lord, I am committed to you. I don't know what Disneyland is like. I don't know what those fireworks really represent. I don't know what love really looks like, but I know enough to know that I've heard something that I want. I want to know. So here I am. Willing to step out and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for the grace to show me that, Lord, in my own effort, in my own works, in my own striving, I could never earn salvation. You did all the work, and I get all the benefits. If that's you this morning, or you've backslidden and you've walked away from the Lord because of anger or bitterness or wounding, that this morning you would say, Lord, forgive me. Because I've settled to sit and reminisce. I've settled and just looked through the lens of bitterness and hurt. But no more, Lord. Because I know you're bigger and better than that. If that's you, I just speak a blessing over you and just say, receive. Receive salvation. Receive salvation and begin to shout it from the mountaintops. Receive salvation and tell your friends. Receive salvation and get into discipleship. Receive salvation this morning and discover the ministry of the Spirit of God. Receive salvation this morning and begin to say, Lord, as I follow you, Lord, others will follow me. Receive salvation this morning from Jesus, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Can you do just one more thing? I'm sorry. Just one more thing. Actually, forgive me. I'm not sorry. One more thing. Join me just for a moment, and I want you to think of one person you know, or one family you know, or somebody that you know that needs the good news. The good news of salvation. The good news of there's a better way. The good news of the awe and wonder of encountering Jesus, the good news of deliverance and healing, the good news of transformation. I want you to bring them to mind and just begin to intercede with them in these simple little steps. Lord, help me address their expectations by being the alteration in their life. By being the beloved one you would send to them to alter their expectations of who you are and what life's supposed to be like and the way we do things and the way they do things, so that together we would have a revelation of you. And give me the boldness, Lord, to then take that revelation and invite them into the life of transformation. Through relationship with you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just take that person, that family, and just bless them this week. Bless them in prayer, bless them in word, and bless them in deed. Amen. You are a beloved and blessed people. Have an incredible day, an incredible week. We're here Wednesday nights with prayer. We'll be here tonight, 6 p.m. There's ministers up here on the front line at the altar. Come and share your story and receive the blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen.